Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our friend Ron Brown, who is a gold and silver dealer. He supports Radio Liberty. We support him. We think he does a great job, and we've dealt with him personally in the past. And certainly, we've always had excellent remarks from our listeners who've dealt with Ron. Today, America is in the throes of a financial contraction. Well, really, the whole world is in a financial contraction. The banks, many of them throughout the world, are just no longer solvent. The question is, what's the next bank that's going to go down here in the United States? Is it Wachovia? Is it Washington Mutual? WaMu, is what they call it. So many of our banks just are not solvent. The FDIC has 90 banks that they're watching very closely because they fear that they're simply going to foreclose on them. They do not have the money to make the payments. And, of course, once people begin to suspect that, they're frantic to get the money out of banks. But you have to understand that the financial institutions of our country are in trouble, and many of the largest banks in our country are in real trouble. And then, of course, we know that the housing industry is in real trouble. The home building is in very real trouble. The automotive is in very real trouble. In fact, the only thing that we really seem to be successful in is making weapons today. Of course, we do have, an awful lot of people involved in the electronics in computers, but more and more of that is being transferred to China. More and more of that is being transferred to India with the full help and support of our government, which does everything they can to give special tax breaks to the corporations that leave America, to encourage companies to leave America. We've been told that they are assured that if they go to a foreign country and their factories are nationalized, they'll not only get their money back from the American taxpayers, but two or even three times what they invested. What sort of madness is that? Well, why would our government be giving the corporations that make money overseas a card that says you don't have to pay any taxes at all? Why would you encourage our major industries to move offshore? Well, of course, you can't understand anything going on today unless you understand there are people at the highest levels of our government whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to a globalist dream, a new world order, a new world religion, and the enthronement of a new world leader. Well, let's get to Ron, because he's on the front lines of this battle every day, much more than I am. Ron, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan.
Well, tell us a little bit about what's happening as far as the gold and silver market. Certainly, look at the price of gold. It's way down in the 700s. I don't know where it finished today, but hovering between the 700 and 800. And then, of course, silver is just really taking a bath. And this is a great time to buy. Are people actually buying? Are you having difficulty getting any gold and silver? Are these things readily available with the low prices?
You know, it's crazy, Dr. Stan. Ever since back in March 17th, silver had gone from like $15 to $21 an ounce. Gold had gone from, seems like it was an 800. It rose to 1,033. And that's when the powers to be, in the banking system, the government, and the central banks and so forth, came in and just ambushed the market. Drove silver down from $21 to $16 in just a matter of 3 or 4 or 5 days. Gold dropped from 1,033 down to 840 at the time. And you would think there was a panic out of the gold and silver market, yet every dealer in the land basically ran out of anything to sell. And so it kind of implies, in fact, it proves really that all these dramatic drops in gold and silver in just a matter of days, or a matter of manipulation of the paper markets, because the the physical markets for gold and silver are just the opposite. And since March 17th, I don't think I've had two buyers call in with any type of panic to sell, but everyone's calling in to buy. So here we are today, you know, they had dropped the gold and silver down, then they rallied right back up. And most of the experts that I follow were saying once gold breaks back above $1,000, that's going to trigger the runaway market. And so here we were just 2 or 3 weeks ago, gold was back up to $990, ready to break through 1,000. Silver was up to 1950. So I think they called out all the king's horses and all the king's men. They ambushed the market and the futures market. We probably need to discuss that a little more because that's a form of derivative where you're trading paper contracts and very little silver changes hands. So it's just a bunch of leveraged traders sitting around a bucket shop like a bookie operation gambling on the price of gold and silver, whether it's going to go up or down. So that's an easy market for the international bankers or whoever wants to manipulate the market to manipulate the price of silver down, because all they have to do is start selling paper contracts and that forces the price down. So basically there's a disconnect going on right now between the physical market for gold and silver and that paper market of derivatives. And well, I think what you're starting to see is the physical market is about ready to totally disconnect from the futures market and say, we're not even going to use your prices for calculating the cost of our items. We're going to let the physical supply and demand equation determine our prices, and that's what you're starting to see.
All right. Well, now my understanding is that the U.S. Mint has stopped making the silver eagle, and you're not going to be able to buy those, what, for another year?
Well, they said they were stopping until the 2009.
No, but why would they stop? I mean, weren't they making money on the? Wasn't the Mint making money minting the silver coins?
You would think they were. I think it's just flat there's a shortage of silver out there.
No, well, there's a shortage of silver, then how can the price be dropping? You'd think if there was a shortage, the price would go up, supply and demand. Or maybe is this all simply a mirage?
It's a mirage because they're manipulating the paper price of silver, and that's my point. The paper price of silver in these derivative markets, the COMEX and so forth, is totally out of touch with the reality of the real world. There's a shortage of gold and silver everywhere, and what I really believe is happening is that you mentioned all...
Hold that price. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron is simply saying that although we see the price of gold and silver dropping, and dropping dramatically, there isn't hardly anything available. There's a shortage of silver, so why doesn't the price go up? Because it's being manipulated. There is a shortage of gold products. Why doesn't the price go up? Because the price is being manipulated. When you understand that, ladies and gentlemen, they're doing everything. The people who control the world financial system are manipulating the prices of gold and silver and platinum and commodities. They're manipulating the price of the stock market because they know, certainly as we begin to approach the election, if the market were to collapse, well, you might come to realize that both political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, are controlled by the same people. You might even be looking for an alternative candidate, maybe somebody who believed in American values and the Constitution, rather than one of the two globalist candidates that's being run by the establishment. Candidate A, candidate B, they're both Republicrats. They both are controlled by the two branches of the same major political party. So once you understand that, you understand why these things are happening today, and the last thing they would want was for people to begin to realize that the value of the money that they've worked their whole life for is about to be destroyed, that this will destroy the value of their pension funds. It will destroy the value of their insurance policy. It will destroy the value of their annuities. It will destroy the value of their CDs that they have or their long-term bank deposits or whatever they have that's denominated in dollars. And unfortunately, most of our pension funds and other things are denominated in dollars, and we're going to see an awful lot of people who are going to end up being impoverished when the time comes for them to retire. Well, Ron, go ahead. Ron was simply saying, as a coin dealer, he's having a very difficult time getting any silver coins. What are you doing? Let's imagine somebody were to call you now, and they wanted to buy 10 bags of $1,000 bags of junk silver. What would happen? How would you go about fulfilling their order?
Well, I call my dealer today to get that, and they'll give me a decent quote, and then they'll say it's at least 2 weeks and maybe more waiting. And that's about the best situation out there. You know, you can't get silver eagles, as you mentioned. Even the maple leaves, the silver maple leaves, which have been available, they're now back ordered 2 to 3 weeks. So if I went to my dealer and he would lock in a price for me, but he couldn't guarantee me when he would ship them. Now, this is where the dealers get into real trouble. Because let's say instead of 10 bags, which would be about 7,200 ounces, let's make it 10,000 ounces of bags. So we can keep it simple. The dealer would lock in that price with me, and then he doesn't have it, and he doesn't know when he can get it, but he has to hedge himself because he's committed to sell me the silver at that price. So he would typically go into the futures market and buy a contract or 10,000 ounces of silver on contract to hedge his obligation to me. Now, here's where the problem comes in. Since the physical market is disconnected from the futures or the paper market, we're seeing the premium on bags start to rise dramatically. So in that position, in that situation, his hedge with the futures contracts wouldn't protect him at all because they may be taking the price of silver down while the silver bags are going up. And just to give you an example, in 1999 when Y2K was the issue, in the first 2 weeks of January 99, bags went from $3,800 my cost to $5,800 my cost in 2 weeks, and the price of silver had not budged. So in that case, if a dealer had gone and bought some paper futures contracts to hedge his obligation on bags, it totally failed him. And then what happened is all the bags disappeared, which is happening as we speak. And the dealers make a commitment to get those bags, and then when they go to try to find them, they're not available, so then they have to raise the bid price to drive it up, and that's when the premium on the bags goes up dramatically. You're starting to see that in the Silver Eagles now, since the men have stopped making them. The dealer I work with the most called today, and they can't get them from the men, but they were saying, we're trying to make a market in them. So we will take an order for them. We'll charge you $2.75 over spot, but we can't guarantee when we will be able to ship them. Well, you see, that's a tremendous increase in the premium on those coins. So in reality, silver isn't dropping nearly as much as people think it is because the physical price for silver is going up and premium while they manipulate the paper price down.
And I think the average individual does not understand that these markets are manipulated with the full connivance of our people in the federal government who are supposed to be supervising and preventing this sort of thing from happening, but that's how the game is played. Who are you going to report it to? Are you going to report it to the people who are manipulating the market and saying they shouldn't be doing it? If you do, you'll be in real trouble. So basically, of course, what we're really doing is beginning to see the demise of the foundation of our monetary system, which was built upon gold and silver, always has been, and even though that they can declare that simply a piece of paper is legal tender for all debts, public and private, it is no longer redeemable in lawful money as it once was. I can remember up until 1965, every Federal Reserve note said this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at any branch of the U.S. Treasury or any branch of the Federal Reserve System. We no longer have lawful money in the United States. We have pieces of paper with something written on it. They had that in Rhodesia, too, where today they have over 2.5% a year inflation. People say it couldn't happen here. Remember, it was your State Department, the American State Department, that actually forced the Rhodesian people to accept Mugabe. We installed him down there, promising the Rhodesians that we would never let anything bad happen to their country. They could depend upon the American State Department, American government, to guarantee the stability of their nation, and now over a third of the people have fled for their lives, and people are starving to death in that country, where we installed, back in 1980, a man named Robert Mugabe, a communist thug, to take over the country. I think it was just sort of an experiment to see what would happen. These people love these little experiments on other people's lives and other people's sufferings. Well, Ron, what's going to happen next?
Well, I think you're about to... see the gold and silver totally disconnect from the paper. I think you're going to see a vacuum created for a period where the people who own gold and silver now will see no reason to sell it. So what you'll have is everyone craving, clamoring to get on the bandwagon to buy gold and silver. They can't get it from the dealers because the dealers can't get it from the mints. And so... the premium and the price of these silver, any silver that's available, will just start exploding to the upside. And yet the people who own it are going to say, what would I sell it for? You know, the only ones that will be selling, I think, is to get totally out of debt. So you may see a period of 3 to 6 months where the silver is just exploding and the gold is exploding in price. And it's a total seller's market where everyone wants to buy it, but not very few many people want to sell it. And that's what I see coming, and it's going to be scary times because I'm starting to get calls, and this tells me we're approaching a meltdown. In fact, just last week, I'll just give you two examples. I had two clients call, were referred by someone to me. They had never bought an ounce of gold or silver in their life, and yet they called me, and they didn't want to hear my little spiel on why you should be buying gold and silver or what my... prospects for it rising. All they really wanted to do, their only priority for calling me was to get their money out of the bank and put it into something they thought might be a refuge. So when you reach that point, you're approaching that bank in panic that we had back in 1929, where people just want out of the banks no matter what. And of course, we've already seen one run on a bank, and that put a lot of fear in people's minds. And I think there's more banks that have gone under that they've just quietly bought up.
Yeah, of course, they're going under in other countries as well. But, of course, they don't want to talk about that. Many of our major banks are having terrible, terrible problems because they hold all these collateralized debt obligations or these asset-backed securities, and of course people are not paying on them. A lot of people, their homes are worth a lot less than the mortgage they're holding on the houses. They're just walking away from those houses. There are whole areas where they've had in these beautiful, beautiful subdivisions. They can't sell any of the homes, and suddenly these subdivisions are like ghost towns. A couple of people are renting there, and all the rest of the houses are just sitting there. And certain parts of the country, of course, you're developing instant slums. People move out of the houses. The grass overgrows. It dies there. Actually, the cities are going in trying to mow the lawns and keep the places looking somewhat presentable. There are parts of the country, places like Detroit, you can buy a house for $25,000 or $30,000. And these, at one time, are homes that would have sold for several hundred thousand dollars. The whole economy of our country is beginning to tremble. Right where I live is not too bad. After all, we get a lot of money from the state of California, and we have our colleges, we have our university here. But now even our university is beginning to have problems. Our state is having problems. We've got a massive deficit, and they don't know how they're going to pay that off. We still don't have a budget here in California, and states all across the country are having problems. Municipalities, counties, and cities do not have the money to pay all their employees. They're having to lay off employees. These are government employees. They thought they had great jobs, high-paying jobs for life. But, of course, more and more of them are going to be laid off as time goes by. And of course, the cities are going to try to do anything they can to raise money, but the people won't accept more taxes. And, of course, the local municipalities and the states, unlike the federal government, can't simply go out and print money. What the federal government does is just go out and print money, because that leads to inflation and destroys the value of what the people own. But most people don't understand inflation. They think inflation has just something to do with rising prices. But, of course, that's not true. Inflation has to do with an expansion of the money supply because of irresponsible people working in the government, and because they've expanded the money supply, why the prices rise secondarily. It is not that wet streets cause rain, but rain causes wet streets. Well, Ron, you go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, I think you've just described, Dr. Stan, why the government and the powers to be on Wall Street and the central bank had to rush to the rescue and call out the cavalry and do everything they can to try to put a pretty face on what's going on. Because, see, with oil prices going through the roof, people are getting squeezed in their gasoline. Their houses are going down in value. The dollar is dropping. So they had to come to the rescue and, one, try to force the price of oil down, take a little relief off of the pumps. They had to get the foreign central banks, who are heavily invested in our dollars, to come to the rescue of the dollar, at least temporarily, and stop selling the dollar and start buying the dollar so the dollar would rise in the international markets and beat the price of gold and silver and all the commodities down. And then the pundits on Wall Street in Washington, D.C. could come out and say, the worst is over, everything's looking better. The reality is we're approaching a meltdown, and they had to do everything in their power to try to stop the bleeding and change the psychology. Because once they lose the confidence, you know, when you lose confidence in a confidence game, you got a real problem. And that's basically all our monetary system is, a gigantic confidence game, because all the paper money has value only to the extent that people think it has value. And as the rest of the world rejects the dollar and the people in the U.S. get fed up with what's going on and start to get their money out of the banks, that means you're approaching a meltdown of a confidence game. And that's when things fall apart very, very quickly.
Well, certainly. Now, are you seeing a lot of activity, or have people sort of a little frightened and sitting on the sidelines now?
Oh, no. This will be the second biggest month I've ever had in 30 years in the business.
Was the first one there just before Y2K?
Right. And no, the first one was back in March.
Oh, really was?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just so glad things are going well for you, Ron, and I appreciate, you know, all the help that you've given to a lot of our listeners out there, and they all speak very, very highly of you. Well, you know, as soon as we watch and see what's happening, and of course we now find the federal government is going to step in and guarantee the stability of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and instead of let the companies simply go bankrupt, and of course to take down their bondholders and their stockholders, the federal government has given the Treasury Department simply a blank check to pay off whatever it's going to take to stabilize Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You're talking about a $5 trillion, that's trillion dollar exposure for our government, for our Treasury Department to stabilize Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And of course, as time goes by, more and more of those homes are going to go into default as the price of homes keeps dropping and people begin walking away from the mortgage. The mortgage is worth far more than the house is worth. And of course, some of the people will lose their jobs. I mean, even some of the they call the prime loans, the triple A prime loans, are going to get into trouble already. Many of the subprime loans are in trouble. The alt A loans are in trouble. But of course, the subprime loans are going to get into more and more trouble. Alan Greenspan says it's going to get straightened out the first half of next year, 2009. Well, of course, is he really telling us the truth? I think it's going to last a great deal longer than that. The people I talk to are fairly smart and tell me it's going to be some years before, of course, the housing market bottoms, and it will always go further down than you anticipate. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And this is really a terrible, terrible time for so many people, and so many people are going to lose their jobs, so many people are going to lose their homes, so many people are going to lose their cars, and so many people have their cars now, the big fancy SUVs and other cars, and they can't get rid of them. And, of course, even if they walk away from them, they still have to make up the difference in what they owe, and, of course, what the car is going to sell for if it does sell. And I think it's going to be a time of terrible suffering for many, many people. Well, what do you think the next thing is going to happen, Ron, as far as we look at this? And we know the automotive industry is in real trouble, the housing industry, the financial industry, and even many of our smaller companies and manufacturing companies, they're still being encouraged by the people in government, the globalists in government, to move their manufacturing to other countries because, of course, it's much cheaper to manufacture over there. In fact, there are very, very few jobs here in the United States that are not government jobs. That are going to be able to survive the coming globalization programs that we have. Because our leaders' loyalty is not to the United States, but to this international stream, and their purpose and goal is not to preserve the living stability of our people, but, of course, to raise the living standards of people in other countries and to lower living standards here so we can have equitable distribution of wealth, not only within nations, but between nations. And that is, of course, exactly what the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf for everything going on, calls for today. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have not read the Earth Charter, you can get it off the Internet. Just Google in Earth Charter and read it, especially point 10A and 10B. And, of course, if you don't have access to the Internet, and why, of course, you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the Earth Charter. If you can help us at all with the expense of it, we'll appreciate it. If not, why, we'll send it to you. You need to know what's going on. Well, do you think the average individual out there, Ron, really believes that our leaders could be intentionally transferring our wealth to other nations and intentionally lowering the living standards of the average American?
No. You know, I still think maybe less than 5% are even starting to wake up to it. It's a sad state of affairs when you try to explain it to people. And you do an awful lot of good work trying to do that, Dr. Stan. You have a loyal following. But if you go out and talk to your 10, at least for people like me, if I go and talk to 100 friends or people to try to explain what's going on to them, gosh, I bet you less than 3% of the people, they think I'm a blooming idiot, you know? And so it's kind of disgusting, and it's a sign of our times that the people have been so dumbed down by the news media, by their education. The colleges are just miseducating people on economics for certain and politics for certain. So, yeah, it's a sad state of affairs that, you know, all the horses are going to be out of the barn, I think, before people wake up to what's going on. And it's going to be hard to save the republic if that's the case.
Well, all we can do is do our best. And I know you're doing your best. And I know that the people who support us are doing their best. Well, let's go to Rick, who's calling us from Texas. Once again, the telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Rick. How are you doing tonight? Doing just fine. What part of Texas are you from?
I'm from East Texas.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I just had a question. How much did bags go down when the price just of silver went from like $18.50 or somewhere around there to $13 or what? I don't know where it ended up. It lost like $5. How much did bags go down then? Did they go down commensurate or did they kind of stay higher than that?
Well, they came down almost commensurate, but in reality the bags were trading right at their spot value of silver back then, and today they're trading at about an 80-cent premium. That could accelerate very, very quickly. I remember back in 1982 it happened in 3 days. Because what's going to happen is these dealers go out to try to buy the bags to fill the commitments they've already made, only to discover that all the other dealers are out trying to buy bags to fill the commitments that they've made. And at that point, you could see the premium on those bags, for example, 1982, and then again in 1999, they went to a 57% premium in just a matter of days.
Now, what is the premium right now over a value of silver?
About 80 cents an ounce, so what's that, about 8%?
Right.
So it really hadn't even started yet, but that could happen. And I fear that's about to happen because there are so many people clamoring to get on the bandwagon, and there's nothing that you can buy out there. And then you've got all of these paper scams now that are starting to be exposed. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the Perth Mint. We've mentioned the Morgan Stanley lawsuit, I think, several times.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Ron Brown. We've got Rick calling us from Texas. And do you have anything else you want to ask, Rick?
Let's see, when there's a premium on it, does that mean that people that buy it from people will also be paying premiums, like the people that go between the dealers and the public? Like if the public's selling it? Because, I mean, the guys, the dealers I talk to, they're like, they're kind of close to the market, but then you said it just started, so maybe.
What typically happens is the market gets more volatile, and the bags are going to a premium, or the price of silver is going up dramatically, then the dealers trying to deal in that type of market it's hard to function under that type of environment. For example, I gave the example earlier how do you hedge your bag purchase when the bags are going to a premium versus the spot price? So what happens to protect themselves, the dealers have to widen their spread. In other words, the difference between what they will pay for it, the bid price, and what they are asking for it, because they have to allow for a lot more, one, defaults, people reneging on trades. You'll even see, and it could happen very quickly. In fact, it is with some of the dealers now. They'll say, we'll take your order. We can't promise you delivery for 8 or 10 weeks, but you have to pay me up front. And see, when you start talking about the banking system and the bank that could go under, and who wants to deal in that type of environment where your money is tied up with some other dealer for 8 to 10 weeks, and there's the fear and the threat that the banks could go under tomorrow. So it makes, and that's why Dr. Stan and I have been saying for the last 3 or 4 years, get your silver and your gold before the panic starts. Because once it starts, now you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trillions of dollars of paper money that's going to be going towards worthless, and people are losing faith in it, and they're trying to jump on board and buy a few billion dollars worth of silver. And the people who have it are saying, why should I sell it? Then where would I go with the money? So you're just going to see a market that just could get explosive. And so I tell people, one, do not leverage. Only buy what you can pay for and take delivery yourself. Do not store your silver anywhere else, because a lot of these dealers that are storing silver do not have the right amount of silver to deliver. And that's what's going to be the next shoe that drops on the silver market, when the law of supply and demand suddenly wakes up.
Hold that thought, Ron. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron is just saying that, you know, if you're going to buy gold and silver, get it in your own hand. Do not let somebody else store it for you, because a lot of these people are storing silver and don't have the silver that they're supposed to be storing. And, of course, there's a real problem as far as the banks are concerned. A lot of the people like Ron who deal through suppliers, the supplier will say, sure, I'll give you a price on the silver or on the gold, but it's going to be 8 to 10 weeks before we can deliver it to you. But you're going to have to pay me now, so I have the money, so I can be sure you're going to pay me down the line. Well, of course, that means, of course, you give him the money, and then what happens when the banks were to collapse, something of that sort, and you could be just stuck there with nothing at all. So these are increasingly uncertain times, Rick. And, of course, they don't want the American people to understand that the whole world financial system is beginning to collapse. Anything else you want to say, Rick?
I just want to ask, did you hear that there's supposed to be one of the major, major big banks that they're saying might collapse pretty soon? Do you know which one that they're talking about?
Well, right now they're talking about Washington Mutual and Wachovia. Those are two banks. There's names that I hear coming in. What about you, Ron? What do you hear?
I was reading Jim Sinclair, and he was talking about the same thing, but he says, I don't know which one. So
I think they're all in real trouble, but the big banks like Morgan Stanley and Morgan Chase Morgan and J.P. Morgan Chase and certainly Bank of America and so many of these banks or investment houses, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, they're all in financial problems. But they're hoping the government's going to step in and rescue them. The government's actually allowing them to, you know, turn in their all their bad mortgages, and the government's going to hold those as collateral and it's going to supply them with good money. But the only way they're getting this is just to create it out of nothing. They're monetizing. They're rapidly increasing the money in circulation. The M3 level, which, of course, they're no longer printing, but which is pretty the estimate of money and credit out there, is running somewhere between 16 and 18% at the present time, and you can check that at shadowstatistics.com. That's John Williams' website, and he's following the M3, which the government doesn't want you to know. That is going to be reflected in the inflation very, very shortly. Anything else, Rick, before we let you go?
That should do it. I think we're toast, though.
Well, I think we're in real trouble, too. Help us to get the word out and get people to listen to our program, will you?
Okay, thank
God
you.
Bless. And let's go to Ed, who's calling from Idaho. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But before we go to Ed, Ron, I want you to get out your telephone number so people would know how to get in touch with you if they want more information.
Okay, my telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, fine. Now let's go to Ed. Hi, Ed. What part of Idaho are you calling from?
Coeur d'Alene area.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I have two questions. Number one, what is the face value of silver? And number two, it seems that the coin dealers are not being fair in what they're charging for gold. In other words, they're getting like $75 over spot for premium, and the libs and the saints are going for a higher premium. And I don't know if you addressed this earlier because I just tuned in, but can you explain that?
Well, it's really a function of supply demand, where people are waking up all of a sudden, rushing, you know, to try to buy gold and silver. The dealers are running out of it. And so they're having to raise the premium on the coins to go out and get them. For example, they stopped making the U.S. gold, 1 ounce gold eagle now. So the only way for a dealer to get those is to go into the secondary market and raise the bid that they will pay to attract someone to sell it to them. So it's getting, I'll give you another example. I was selling these AU almost uncirculated $20 gold pieces, you know, minted from 1870 through 1928. These are, you know, basically 100-year-old coins in almost uncirculated condition. And 6 months ago, I could get them for $25 over spot, which was cheaper than I could buy a 1 ounce gold eagle. Today, if I wanted to get them, it'd be $115 wholesale, you know, my cost from a dealer. But the problem is they don't have any. So you're really just seeing the world wake up, and they've manipulated the price and kept it down for so long, and all of a sudden people are starting to wake up and they're rushing to buy, and the supply is just totally drying up. And you're just seeing the very beginning of it.
And, of course, they're manipulating the prices on the commodity exchange, but they can drive it down all they want to. If people, you actually go out and you actually try to buy it, it's going to cost you a lot more. In other words, the price of silver, $12.50, $13, but you can't get it for $12.50 or $13 an ounce. So they can say what the price is, but in the real world, trying to get that these precious metals, increasing shortages are developing. We've anticipated this for all the years we've been talking about it, Ed, and we're just trying to get people to understand that they're going to have to start looking after themselves right now, or they're going to get wiped out. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. What was your second question, Ed?
What is face value on silver?
What's the face value on silver? What is the
in
face?
A bag of silver?
No. You know, is it 10 times or what?
Oh, the bags are trading right at 10 times face right now.
10 times? Okay.
And, you know, at the peak back in March, they were trading at 15 times face, a little over 15 times face.
Okay.
So they've gotten the price down temporarily. But now people are waking up. And in fact, I would say this, that all the attempts to manipulate the market in the last 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even going back to March, are totally backfiring on him, because I think the bankers and the central bankers and the governments were hoping if they smashed the price of gold and silver, they would create a massive selling spree. But in reality, just the opposite has happened. So I remember the old saying, you fooled me once, shame on you. You fooled me twice, shame on me. So people are now seeing that, you know, they've been beating the price of gold and silver down periodically for the last 7-8 years, but 3 months later, it always goes right back and breaks to new highs. So instead of panicking this time, I'm going to go out and take advantage of the bargains and buy it. So now when they drive the price down, your dollar just buys more silver, and that's why the silver's drying up and there's not much to get.
Okay, anything else, Ed?
Well, I just wanted to throw in an additional comment in there. You know, it's human nature, and I'm not trying to blame any of the dealers, but it's human nature to squeeze as much out of the transaction as you can. And I was kind of left with the impression at times, perhaps wrongfully, that I got it, you want it, that's the price.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, there are a lot of unscrupulous people out there in the gold and silver business, and we've had some of them with us in the past, and we no longer have them with us because they were taking advantage of our listeners. And we just would not put up with that. So, I mean, if you're going to get gold and silver, shop around. Whatever you're going to buy, you certainly want to shop around, but especially right today, if you're thinking of getting anything in that market, check prices and check them very carefully, and make sure that the people who have made a commitment to ship them to you after you've paid for them are really going to get it, or that the coin dealer is going to give it to you at the price that he's and that that you're getting what you're paying for. And of course, a lot of these people try to sell you commemorative coins or certainly on the you know, collector's coins. And if you're not a collector, you don't know whether they're telling you the truth or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else, Ed?
No, that's it. Have a good evening, gentlemen. God bless you both.
Thank you both. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Ed, of course, calling from Idaho. Our telephone number, once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it's amazing the difference a couple of months can make. A couple of months ago, price of gold and silver looked like they were going right through the roof. Right? You know, going to go right. Gold was going to break 1,000 again, and silver was going to break $20 an ounce again. They've dropped them down. But it's all manipulated. It's exactly like the stock market. They manipulate the stock market. We do not have free markets. We have controlled markets. We have a controlled media. We have controlled perception. And, of course, the people who are going to survive are going to be the ones who can think independently and act independently. Well, Ron, many people have anticipated the prices were going to come down during the summer. Do they ordinarily go up again in the fall? What's the usual pattern as far as gold and silver are concerned?
That's a typical pattern. You know, there's an old saying, sell in May and go away and come back in, like, September. And, of course, a lot of people, and myself included, were thinking that might not really apply this summer, because what was driving the price of gold is not gold as a commodity, but gold as a refuge in a monetary crisis. And, of course, I've always known and always preached to anyone who buys gold and silver from me, I say, buy it and then buckle your seatbelt and get ready for a wild ride, because there's going to be every attempt made to drive it down. And as long as you have that futures market determining the spot price of gold or silver, they will manipulate it at will. But I think that's about to end, and I think the physical market is just going to divorce itself, disconnect from the ridiculously manipulated, rigged paper markets. And that's when they will lose part of their ability to manipulate the price, because the silver and gold is going to take its own course based on supply versus demand.
And I think, of course, if America were the only country in the world, they could manipulate things much more easily than they can when, of course, we're part of a global market. But people in other countries are a lot more perceptive and understand the problems with paper money. In Vietnam, the people there certainly are trying to buy gold, because they got a 25% inflation right today in Vietnam. And the government, in order to counter that, has put laws that no more gold can be imported into the country. In other words, they will not allow people to bring gold into the country. But what does that do? Well, it simply raises the value of the gold that's already there into the country. And, of course, many of the countries in the world are running an 8 to 10% inflation rate. And the average individual really doesn't grasp the significance of what's going on here. I mean, we keep being told by our government that our core inflation rate's only 2%, and maybe it was up to 5.6%. But that's only temporary. And if you take fuel and food and everything else of any importance, housing out of this, why, of course, everything's just fine. There's nothing to worry about. And they're simply lying. And you go to some of the websites out there, and more people are simply saying, the government is not telling you the truth. Their statistics are, well, they make up statistics, and that's what it's all about. They're making up statistics because they do not want you to know that we're on the edge of what I believe is a financial Armageddon. Well, let's go to Lori, who's calling from Idaho. Hi, how are you doing, Lori?
I'm doing well, and I just tuned in, and I have a question for your guest on silver stored in an IRA.
All right, fine. What's your question?
Is he suggesting that we obtain actual control of it and take it out of the IRA?
I've been saying that to people for 10 years.
No, but she's going to have to pay, she's probably going to have to pay a premium on that to get it out and pay a certain amount of money just for taking it out.
And that's, it's like the old Fram commercial, though, pay me now or pay me later. And the way I look at it is, those IRAs and the 401ks were created for one purpose, and that was to keep the individual's money tied into the Wall Street system. So if you have your money in an IRA and it's being stored in New York City, of all places...
That's where it's at.
It's probably two doors down from the Federal Reserve System, or two blocks down. And so you're setting yourself up... for the government to come out and declare an emergency and say, we're going to take the gold and silver like they did in 1933. But it's important to understand that in 1933, we were on a gold standard. So when Roosevelt declared an emergency and called in the gold, in my opinion, he wasn't necessarily calling in the gold so much as he was reneging on the promise to redeem all those millions and millions and millions of gold certificates, which were a claim on gold. If you really want to confiscate gold, you have to be able to knock doors down and tear people's houses apart and say, we want it and we're going to get it. So the last thing I think the government wants to do is start coming into people's houses, because that would be, in effect, taking off the velvet glove and exposing the iron fist of tyranny, and that's what would wake up the American people. But if you store your gold and your silver in a very convenient place for them to walk next door and say, we've got an emergency and we're going to take this, 98% of the American people would care less about what they did to your gold or silver, right? So I've always told people, pay the price, you're going to have to pay the taxes on it eventually anyway. You're going to have a 10% penalty, but, next week they could change the penalty to 20% if they want to force the money to stay in. I just tell people to get out while the getting's good.
Well, and certainly with the depressed value of gold and silver right now, it's probably a good time to get out.
You just took my next point. This is the perfect time to do it because you're going to have less taxes and penalty to pay on. Plus, when silver gets right back to where it was just 6 months ago, here we are at, $13 silver, and it gets up to $21, you will have made back all the taxes and the penalties you've paid in just a matter of 6 months, and now you've got it free and clear and out of their hands.
Thank you very much.
It's just a prudent thing to do, and I've been advising that for years.
And I think it's good advice, Lori. I'm not a financial advisor, but it's just logical. You're going to have to look after yourself. You're going to have to do exactly the opposite from what the financial advisors are going to tell you to do. But it's your money. You've worked for it. You've earned it. And you've got to protect it because they want it. And they want to destroy the value of our currency. They want to impoverish our people. They want equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations, except, of course, for the ruling elite.
Well, you're the second advisor that has said that, so that's a confirmation for me. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, remember, we're not advisors. We're just a couple of people talking, but I think it's good advice. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, Chris, our guest is Ron Brown. Once again, Ron, I want you to get your telephone number out there.
That's 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And, you know, I just encourage people to feel free to call me. I'm easy to talk to. I don't charge anything for it. I love to hear your calls. Just trying to help educate people. And I can send you a package of information that will, some newsletters and other stuff that I've accumulated that might give you a better understanding of what's going on.
Somebody just asked the question, do you think the silver to gold ratio will change? Right now it's 53 to 1. The relation gold is 53 times the value of silver. Do you think that that's going to change?
I think the ratio will go to 10 to 1 for sure, and maybe 5 to 1. There are even people arguing this would be, you know, several years out, that it could even go to 1 to 1. Because the reality is that there's more gold above ground that could come into the market than there is silver. And silver, in reality, is more critical to the world than gold is.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, Ron, you got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program tonight.
Okay, Dr. Stan, you know, we've been pleading with people, trying to educate them as to what's happening. You know, a lot of times it doesn't happen as soon as you want it to happen, but now it's starting to accelerate, and the time to protect yourself is running short. It's already getting too late, I think, to buy gold and silver in a lot of cases, because it's, I had a guy call me today, just to give you an example, who wants to take $500,000 and maybe $1 million to buy gold and silver, and I don't know where I can get it. So, anyone, the smaller investors, if you want to try to protect yourself, you need to be doing it very, very quickly, because the shortage is just going to get worse and worse, and at some point it's going to go into a vacuum and explode upward like it did back in 1979 when silver went from $5 to $52 an ounce in 12 months. Well, here we are, 30 years later, and you've got 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 times as much paper money, ready to chase one-fourth as much silver, because we've been consuming more silver than we produce every year for the last 20, 30, 40 years. So the time to buy it is getting short, and I just encourage people to do their homework. Don't put it off. It's time to act.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Ron. I think it's important that people understand that we are living in rather, I think, frightening economic times. And yet, of course, this is what has always happened down through the centuries, whether it happened in ancient Florence, you know, certainly during the 1600s, whether it happened in Venice during the 1300s. You're never going to read these things, but this is the way things have happened in the past. And certainly it happened in ancient Rome and led to a chaotic situation there. They even had wage and price controls, shortly after 300 AD under Diocletian, in an effort to stop the runaway prices created by the inflation that the government had created. And because it happened in ancient Greece, we know that it happened in France in the early 1700s, again in 1789. It happened in the United States during the Revolutionary War, when, of course, they printed the Continental Dollar. They just printed the dollars so they'd have money to finance the war. It happened time and time again in Europe. It happened at the Weimar Republic. It's happening in Rhodesia today. It happened in Argentina 5 years ago. Study history. We have a wonderful little pamphlet called The History of Money. You need to know what's happened in the past. Money simply is a means of exchange. There is nothing behind that money. Governments always print too much. Ron Brown, thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure having you. Look forward to talking to you next month.
I'm here, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, if you'd like to get more information on the subject, and remember, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't purport to be one, but I'm an amateur historian. And certainly, you need to get our pamphlet on the history of money. It's only $3.95 in the pamphlet. And another one called The Financial Meltdown, which will give you a lot of good information on what's going on today. And then, of course, we carried the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. We have an excellent talk called The Financial Tsunami, available on video or on DVD, and we have a syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, we have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, written by Professor Sutton. We have the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you read those three books, watch my DVD and go through the syllabus, and read the pamphlets, you'll know more than most college professors, and sure much more than most financial advisors, because they're going to want you to keep your money in investments, waiting for this whole financial downturn to turn around. What they're not telling you is it's not going to turn around. The America we have known before is soon going to cease to exist. We're going to see more and more in the way of wars. We're going to see more political instability. I believe we're going to be moving into a period of chaos and crisis. Why do you think that they gave Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown, and Root, a subdivision of Halliburton, $385 million to build concentration camps in the United States? If you do not believe that, why, if you get any of our other items, why, we'll be glad to just ask for the article on Kellogg, Brown, and Root. We'll be glad to, of course, send that to you. Or, certainly we suggest that you get our talk on the planned police state. It's an excellent DVD, and it comes with a syllabus. We'll have all the documentation. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they not only certainly are building new concentration camps, they're refurbishing those they put the Japanese in 1942 and 1940 through 1945 here in the United States. Why are they refurbishing the Japanese concentration camps? Why are they building new concentration camps? Why have they actually converted many of the old army camps into holding camps and simply turned the barbed wire around so it doesn't keep people out, now it keeps people in? Understand that they know what's going to happen down the line. These are people who work together in concert, energized by a dark and sinister spiritual force, and they're laying us open for the end of freedom as we've known it. Prepare yourself fiscally, financially, but prepare yourself spiritually for what's going on. And if you have any question, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or watch the DVD. And if you don't want to buy the DVD, go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, and certainly there under the section, scroll down to videos, and then scroll down videos to Brotherhood of Darkness and watch it. We have many other items there that we think that you need to get, that you need to help us disseminate. And, of course, if you buy any of our products, while you have our permission to go ahead and duplicate them as long as you're not making a profit. We need to get the American people prepared for what lies ahead, because we've got to be the majority. And we have to understand the true nature of the spiritual forces that are energizing the people who control our nation. People from the secret societies and from the mystery religions working at the hardest, highest level of our government. And they're not very many of them, but they are dedicated. They're bound together in many instances by blood oaths or simply with the knowledge that if they were ever to tell the truth, their life would soon come to an end. We hope you go to our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And there's not only a section on videos, there's a section on other videos. And you go down there and watch Aaron Russo as he talks about how he was approached and offered to join the elite. He, of course, Aaron was a very capable individual. But when, of course, one of the Rockefellers actually tried to, I believe it was Nicholas Rockefeller, tried to recruit him into their movement, he would not do it. But Nicholas explained exactly what's going on today. And there really are people of great wealth who have no moral conscience, who have a different worldview, and, of course, would destroy America. And the whole idea is there could be a two-tiered society, the very rich and, of course, the rest of us out here. Prepare yourself spiritually for what lies ahead. Remain true to our principles. Help us educate the American people. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. It's going to determine what the future will bring, and I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of a man named Mr. Darrell Castle, who you haven't probably heard of. And the reason you haven't heard of is because the people who control the media don't want you to hear of him. Now, right now, we're hearing about who is Obama going to have for his vice president? Who is John McCain going to have for his vice president? But Darrell Castle is a vice presidential candidate. He is the vice presidential candidate who is selected by the Constitution Party to run along with, of course, Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, for the president who's running for the president of the United States. And the reason you haven't heard of Darrell is not because he isn't very capable and articulate, but they do not want you to realize that you have another alternative other than the candidates run by political party A or political party B. Both control, as branches of the Republicrats, both controlled by the same people on all the issues. They're really the same. Oh, the Republicans pretend to be pro-life, and yet the Republicans here and the Bush administration be giving all sorts of money to organizations throughout the world that are committed to abortion. They take it away from one pro-abortion group, they give it to another, and they get all the credit for that. And of course, the Republicans are supposedly dedicated to traditional families and against the homosexual agenda, and yet some of the key people in the Republican administration, specifically in the Department of Defense, but I'm sure elsewhere, are homosexuals, and certainly you cannot get ahead in the military today, you know, certainly if you are opposing the homosexual agenda. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it's all smoke and mirrors. It's rhetoric over reality. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the leaders of the Republican Party and the leaders of the Democrat Party. Only, of course, the leader of the Republican Party is a man, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives is a woman, Nancy Pelosi, but they're doing exactly the same thing. The American people voted in the year 2006 because they wanted to get out of the war in Iraq, and what happened? Why the Republicans continued funding the war in Iraq. So you have to understand it's all a game. But there really is a choice, and one of them is the Constitution Party, and with us, of course, is Darrell Castle. Darrell, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always a pleasure.
Now, why don't you just tell our little listeners a little bit about you? I know who you are, and I know what you do for a living, and I think it's great that you're willing to cut back on your business and spend your time trying to save our country. But who is Darrell Castle? What does he stand for? What does he believe in? Why is he willing to run for the vice presidency of the United States?
Well, I've been a lawyer for 30 years, and I still operate law offices in Memphis, Kansas City, and St. Louis, Missouri. And I've been in the Constitution Party since the day of its original founding in 1992. And I'm doing this because I love my country, as I always have, and I want to contribute everything that I possibly can to educating the American people and trying to bring about change in this country.
All right, fine. And so you, of course, and Chuck Baldwin are running together. And so basically, what is the platform of the Constitution Party? How do they feel about the war in Iraq? How do they feel about what's happening to the economy? What's their position on globalization? What's their position on, certainly on our current fiat money system, the economic system that is created by the bankers, for the bankers, to enrich the bankers?
Well, we believe very strongly that the Constitution is what it says it is, the supreme law of the land, and in addition to that, it's the charter of our nation, and we believe that these problems are far less complex than they seem.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. All right, Darrell, you were saying you think that these problems are far less complex than they seem. Why don't you pick up that story?
Most of them could be solved by just returning to the Constitution, but the things that you mentioned, globalization, is really the wrapper that ties it all together, the breakdown of the barriers between nations, the physical barriers, their borders, the legal barriers, the economic barriers, political barriers. Everything is coming down and being merged into one worldwide entity. The U.S. Supreme Court quotes foreign case law in analyzing our Constitution, and as you pointed out, the international banking establishment controls our monetary system and sets our interest rate and determines how much debt we have and so forth. All those things, we believe, could be solved if the American people were educated, but they can't be because, as you pointed out earlier, the media is controlled by people who don't want those problems solved because they want globalization and they want to build a union of Mexico, Canada, and the United States and later merge it into the other unions of the world like the European Union and so forth. So all those things are things that we in the Constitution Party have dedicated our lives to fighting.
All right, fine. Well, now, what's the solution as far as Iraq is concerned in Afghanistan? Is there any difference between our involvement in Afghanistan, our involvement in Iraq? And if we don't fight the terrorists over there, is George Bush right that we'll be fighting the terrorists on the streets of New York rather than the streets of Baghdad?
Well, we certainly have terrorists on the streets of New York, it appears. I talk to people in the anti-terrorism community, and they tell me that there are terrorist groups represented by Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, other terrorist organizations that apparently run free in the United States and operate quite openly in the cities of our nation. So it makes no sense to me to be fighting a supposed war on terrorism thousands of miles from home with our sons and daughters and our treasury when we have open borders that any terrorist who wanted to could simply walk across, possibly with a weapon of mass destruction or whatever. So, no, we...
Hold on. Tom, we're going to be right back here in just a moment with Darrell Castle, right at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Darrell Castle, who is, of course, the vice presidential candidate of the Constitution Party. You're not going to hear about him. The media is controlled. They're not going to let you know you have an alternative other than Tweedledum or Tweedledummer. I shouldn't say that's not a Tweedledum or Tweedledee. Though both of these men are pretty brilliant individuals. But, of course, they do not differ a great deal at all, except one is taller, one has darker skin, but both of them are actually, of course, heading exactly the same direction. They're both globalists. They're both dedicated to big government. They're both saying, of course, they're going to do what's right as far as Iraq and the Middle East is concerned, but they're both controlled by members of the Council on Foreign Relations who are globalists who have no intention of getting our troops out of the Middle East. And they're going to leave them there as long as they can. And, of course, if they get them out of Iraq and Afghanistan, they're probably going to thrust them into a war in Iran or elsewhere in the Muslim world, because this is really what it's all about. I mean, we didn't go over there to bring freedom to Iraq. I mean, we've installed, if you've ever read the Constitution of Iraq, it's a Muslim constitution. It's written under Sharia law. And you have freedom all sorts of freedoms, as long as they don't, of course, conflict with Sharia law. That's the official constitution. You can get that up on the Internet or get the material from John Stormer. We've installed a Muslim theocracy in Iraq. Why would we have done that? You had far more freedom to do what you wanted to do, you know, under the brutal rule of Saddam Hussein than you will under a Shia theocracy or an Islamic theocracy, and that's exactly what we've installed over there. That's why the Christians are fleeing. At one time, the Christians made up 10% of the population of Iraq, and today they make up less than 3%, and they're hiding and running for their lives, fleeing. Why? Because we destroyed a country that gave them an element of freedom they have no freedom at all under this new Iraqi constitution. Well, you don't want to hear me talk. You want to hear what Mr. Castle says. Mr. Castle, how are we going to get our troops out of there? If we pull out, won't there be chaos?
Well, I think I would use Ron Paul's statement. He said, we just marched in, we can just march out. And my contention is that we have no chaos now, so we would pull them out as rapidly as possible.
But what about the military? My understanding, certainly talking to military officers, is that our army really is broken. That Sydney is not functioning. We're not incapable and would not be capable for another 10 years to fight another major land war. Have you heard any stories of this sort?
Well, certainly I've heard lots of them. I mean, it's pretty obvious from what happened with Russia and Georgia and so forth. We made all these promises to the Georgian people that we would fight for them and so forth, but we simply can't fulfill those promises, nor should we, but the point is, we have no strategic reserves left. We are completely committed with our ground forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, and yes, the Army is either in Iraq and Afghanistan, it's recently returned home and resting for its next deployment, or it's preparing for its next deployment. Those are the three elements of our ground forces right now.
And first, if we had a military, why are we forcing the people from the National Guard to go over there? Why are we sending people from the National Guard? The National Guard is to defend America, not to be fighting imperialistic wars, and this is an imperialistic war overseas. And you must understand, we have no military reserve. They're lying to you. And if you doubt that, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Read my December 2007 newsletter. That's December 2007 newsletter. It's a speech was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez last October, and you'll always want to weep as he tells you that we're not fighting to win the war. We were never allowed to win the war. Our military is broken. It'll be a decade you take to repair it. That's why we're sending our troops, our National Guard troops over, because we do not have sufficient regular army troops to send over there. Why? Because we have them occupying the rest of the world, maintaining the American empire. Are you concerned, Daryl, the fact that we have troops in 130 nations throughout the world? Why do we have troops in so many nations? I thought that the army was to defend America, not to occupy other lands.
Well, we think the same way, Dr. Stan. I'm very concerned about it. 139 nations, 700 foreign military bases. You know, we close our military bases here at home because we can't afford to keep them open. Our borders are wide open, and we are beset with problems everywhere. As you pointed out, there are problems in the military. I mean, my wife's nephew, was a Marine, finished his active duty, and was discharged from the Marine Corps actively about 2 years ago. He just got notice the other day that he was being called back to active duty. So, again, he has to disrupt his life. He's trying to become educated so he can work and support his family someday. But now, after 2 years as a civilian, he's called back to active duty. So it's a desperate situation for these young people. And nobody in our leadership, nobody in our government is going to do anything to help them. I'm convinced of that, because you just don't achieve positions of power and leadership anymore unless you're totally sold out to this idea of globalism and building world government and using the American military as the enforcement arm of it.
And I agree with you totally, and I share your concern. But what are we going to do economically? We find that we're having real problems as far as the stability of our economy is concerned. We find that the automotive industry is shrinking, the housing industry is shrinking, the financial industry is seeping. certainly so many of our major industries are being shipped overseas. We do have electronics here, and yet even much of that is being transferred to other countries with the full help and support of our government, which is actually giving corporations financial rewards for moving their corporations out of the United States. Why would they be doing that? You'd think that they want to preserve the manufacturing foundation of this country, but we seem to be systematically shipping it right out of this country.
Well, that's right. I just spent 2 weeks in Michigan, two separate weeks, and you can drive around that state, and there's a factory on every corner, and hardly any of them are open anymore. And the Michigan economy is in terrible shape. So people there were rather interested in our message, and that message is that our manufacturing base could be rebuilt. There are ways to do it. These free trade agreements and these agreements that, as you just pointed out, encourage factories to leave. We should withdraw from those, and we should start producing something here at home. You create jobs by producing, and I believe that a good start to that would be producing the material necessary to make us energy independent, so we would no longer be subject to Mideast blackmail. We could produce more pipelines, more transport systems, drill rigs, refineries, steel, the whole thing.
But of course, you know, the thing is that our steel industry is moving out of this country systematically. Now, what are you going to do as far as energy independence is concerned? Certainly, we haven't built a new oil refinery in this country for 30 years, but the environmentalists won't let us do it. We have thought of drilling up in Anwar. We're not drilling off the North Slope of Alaska, where there's far more oil there than there is in Saudi Arabia. We're not drilling off the East Coast or the West Coast of the United States, which they could do simply from shore and without even putting oil rigs out there by their slant drilling that they have the ability to do now. We're not allowed to get so much of the oil, certainly, that is in the nation of Alaska, the state of Alaska, or down along the Aleutians. Everything is done to block, of course, the development of our oil resources. How would you possibly, even if you were the vice president, and Chuck Baldwin was the president of the United States, how could you possibly oppose the environmentalists, because, of course, they work in concert with the leaders of both the Republican and Democratic Party, and they're going to still control the Senate and the House of Representatives, and they're going to continue blocking efforts for energy independence, because they don't want energy independence. They want to transfer our wealth to other countries, and that's why we're spending probably in the neighborhood of $600 billion of a year. America's money is being transferred to other countries simply to buy oil today. How are we going to remedy that?
I would tell the American people what you just told me, and I think they would appreciate hearing exactly what's happened. And I would tell them that I want clean water to drink and clean air to breathe as much as any person in this country, but I want environmental regulations only to protect the environment, not to fulfill some one world government person's political agenda. And I would point out to them that this has been held up for years, that we could be energy independent so that there would be no need for their children to be in Iraq and Afghanistan. But it's been held up for many years by these people. A good example of it is what Nancy Pelosi told the Democrat congressmen who are in trouble or in some perceived trouble because of the Democrats' energy position. She told them basically just lie. And once you're elected, once you're reelected, then we will do what we want to do, and that involves no drilling. And she also has joined with T. Boone Pickens, who I tried to call about his program, but I got his personal assistant, not him. But she's joined with him to develop wind power and to block offshore drilling and that sort of thing. It turns out that she owns 22,000 shares in this company. It's all very interesting, and I think the American people would appreciate hearing it over the mainstream news media from the President of the United States exactly what's been done to them for the last few years and what could be achieved in this country if we dedicated our resources to it.
Well, our telephone number, if you're out there listening audience, you have a question for Darrell Castle, Vice Presidential Candidate for the Constitution Party. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. 464-8295, if you have a question or comment, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Daryl Cass. Well, Daryl, what are we going to do about the housing crisis? What are we going to do about the collapse of the housing market? What are we going to do about the fact that so many people are losing their homes today?
Well, it's very difficult to do anything about it until the Federal Reserve is brought under control. I mean, in my law practice, I do a lot of foreclosure defense for people, so I see those issues, at least I used to before I got involved in this campaign, constantly. But I believe that in order to affect any real economic reform, we have to take away the relationship between Congress and the Federal Reserve and return it to constitutional economy that we should have. You know, Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution dictates that Congress shall coin money and regulate its value. And if Congress ended its relationship with the Federal Reserve temporarily until we convert it to a sound money system based on something other than blips on a computer screen so that people's money didn't deteriorate like that, Congress could act as its own Federal Reserve without interest and so forth. So there are a lot of exciting possibilities in this country, especially with today, with the technology that we have available now. If we didn't have to continually work with this heavy weight of globalists trying to destroy us around our necks constantly.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that what we need to do, of course, is get people to understand the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a privately owned central bank, like all the central banks of the world are. And it is created by the bankers back in 1913, supposedly to give us a stable currency, so we would not have, you know, an unstable currency that was losing its value. Well, of course, we had a stable currency before the Federal Reserve was created. We would have some busts and then inflationary periods because of the banks. But we always had a stable currency because it was gold-backed, and the purpose of the Federal Reserve is to destroy that and to enrich the bankers. And, of course, they've made fabulous sums of money. Why? Because they can create money out of nothing. And this is what greatest scam of the world. And I agree with you. We've got to do something about the Federal Reserve system. But the problem is, Daryl, most people don't even understand the Federal Reserve system. They don't understand what a fiat money system is. They honestly believe that the dollar is the dollar. They don't understand that certainly there has never been any fiat money system or a money system without something behind it or that has ever survived. They've always collapsed down to the centuries. So how are we going to get the American people to understand something as simple as money?
Well, it's a difficult problem. One of the first conversations I had with the lady when I first became a candidate was she had looked at our platform and saw that we advocated doing away with the Federal Reserve, and she asked me, well, wouldn't the whole economy collapse if we did that? So people really have no understanding of what it is. They think it's an agency of the government that's designed to solve problems like we're having in the economy right now, rather than realizing that for 100 years now it's caused these problems and led to foreign wars and indebtedness of the nations, not just ours but others, and our people. So yes, the educational process is very difficult and maybe impossible without electing a president.
Amen to that. Well, our guest this evening is Daryl Castle. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'll be back here in just a moment with Daryl. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Is this Carrie calling from Live Oak?
Yes, it is.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment, Carrie?
Yeah, I have a couple comments. One of them was when I was working for, about 8 years ago, I was working for a Fortune 500 company, and they went through the whole globalization thing. And the CEO actually spoke to us as employees and told us that we're going to have job leveling. And he told us all about how that was going to help the other countries of the world
and the other workers of the world get a fair deal, and that we would ultimately all benefit.
In other words, basically what he was talking about was raising the living standards of people in other nations. Was that right?
Right. And recently I heard Kissinger interviewed on public radio over at the Olympics, along with, he was in the same room with Bush in what was the original Chinese monarchy's Forbidden City.
Right.
And the suite. And Kissinger was literally in tears. This is a public radio host, you know, interview,
mm-hmm.
saying in PR how he was so glad and he was so touched by the progress that he's seen since 1950 in China and how much good he's done in the world.
Right. Well, he's done more harm and be responsible for the death of more people than anybody I can think of. So
right.
I said Henry Kissinger is a wicked and evil man.
Wow. And he was sitting there next to the senior Bush. And, of course, we know our current President Bush, or shall we say illegal President Bush, was there at the Olympic Games.
Right. Well, that's just right. He was over there, of course, to validate our support for the Chinese communists. We're keeping that terrible, brutal, autocratic regime in power. But then, of course, we installed them. People have forgotten it. It was the American State Department
yep.
that brought the communists to power back in 1949, 1950.
Mm-hmm.
We've kept them in power. We're arming them. We're transferring our wealth over there. The World Bank, the Asian Import Bank, the Export Import Bank, the World Monetary Fund, American corporations, and, of course, our policy is to build up the best enemy money could buy in preparation
right.
for the next war. Well, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I have another question for you and the guest.
Right.
I heard somewhere, I don't remember the source, that in Texas they have something like 5 or 10 new refineries that are planned to be online in the next 2 years.
You're talking about oil refineries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that what it brought up to me was another program you shared where there was a prediction that the price of oil was going to go down to bankrupt the Arabs, and that then if the refineries came on board, because one of the problems is even if you have a glut in oil supply, like Indonesia that's going to be coming online and Russia, you still have to have enough refineries. But I'm trying to confirm whether or not there really are these refineries that are supposed to be on the Gulf.
All right. Do you know anything at all about that, Darryl?
Well, I haven't heard it. I don't believe it's true. I mean, I could be wrong, of course, but I don't believe it's true. I've researched extensively energy and the entire production system since mm-hmm. I've been a candidate. In fact, I recently had a conference with Eastman Chemical, the largest coal gas company in the world, and they are building a coal gas plant in Beaumont, Texas, which is not expected to be online until 2011-2012.
But that, of course, is to convert coal into natural gas?
Right.
Right.
Okay, right. So, but, Kerry, so I suspect maybe there's a lot of disinformation out there.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on talk radio, not even if you hear it on Radio Liberty, but we try to be accurate, but
yeah.
believe me, there is an organized effort out there to confuse us.
I agree. That's why I called you, and I wanted to say I'm pretty sure I only listen to NPR and some alternatives, and generally there is cooperation can be, disinformation can be identified by doing that. But I don't watch television, and the general media is completely full of it. Yeah, that's for
Thank you very much, Kerry. Bye-bye. Let's go to Jack, who's calling us from Michigan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Jack. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Dr. Stan. Doing well, thank you.
How are things out there in Michigan?
Well, as your guest said, pretty decimated economically. Weather-wise, enjoying a marvelous summer, really.
Okay, fine. You hang on there. We're going to be back in just a moment with Jack calling us from Flint, and we'll remember our number 1-888-24 Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Daryl Castle, vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, actually, I have several, Dr. Stan. But first, I want to make a comment. T. Boone Pickens stated in a syndicated radio interview that there's vast reserves of methane natural gas. Now, he didn't identify where, and the talk show host didn't pursue that line of questioning at all. But as you astutely recall, Lindsey Williams identified 1 billion cubic feet of natural methane gas being pumped back into the ground up at Prudhoe Bay.
So every day. That's
every day,
every single day, right.
And so I think T. Boone was thinking of that. And so your guest may recall Fritz Hollins of South Carolina brought BMW into South Carolina where they build, I believe it is, an SUV. Now, on that same talk radio show, Phil Valentine, every afternoon, he disclosed that BMW has created a functional engine that runs on compressed natural gas and achieves 265 miles per gallon. Now, that's, of course, in Europe, not here. So he mentions the decimated economy here in Flint. Well, believe it or not, the king of Sweden, King Gustav, is coming to visit the old General Motors Institute, which is now known as Kettering. And when I checked with the local Saab dealership, they knew all about this, and purportedly the king of Sweden, of course Saab is a Swedish company, he could very well have connections with General Motors relative to Saab. So I'm thinking, since there's all this shut down manufacturing capability here, that it might be a really good idea to focus on what T. Boone Pickens had, corroborated relative to all that billion cubic feet of natural gas every day. We could build the BMW engine here in Michigan, 265 miles per gallon. And the other suggestion I'd like to run by him is he mentioned all these foreign trade agreements. Why not do what Hillary Rodham Clinton had suggested, that we terminate, well, she said renegotiate, I say terminate.
Hold that thought. And of course, our guest is Daryl Castle, who is the vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. We have Jack on the line from Michigan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Jack is talking about some sort of a natural gas powered the engine BMW is producing that'll make 256 miles to the gallon. I just don't believe it, Jack. I really don't. It sounds really great, but do not believe everything you hear on talk radio, okay?
Right, I understand.
But okay, fine. And so let's if you have a question for our guest, Daryl Castle. Daryl, do you have any comment at all about what Jack is saying?
Well, I would say that it sounds very suspicious, but it's interesting that foreign companies want to consider coming here while our manufacturing is leaving. And I'm all for manufacturing and putting people back to work, but what I propose is for the United States to use this manufacturing capacity to develop every source of energy that we have at the same time, and while rebuilding our infrastructure and putting people to work and concentrating on developing our own energy source, I would make becoming independent for energy one of the highest priorities of this country. It could be done. and it should be done.
But I fear that it's not going to be done because I do not believe our leaders want us to be energy independent. I think they want an excuse to continue transferring our wealth to other countries as we have to import oil when we have plenty of oil here. They're just not letting us develop it. But how else are we going to have equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations unless we continue sending our wealth overseas and continuing impoverishing our people? Jack, thanks so very much for calling, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Again, our guest this evening, Daryl Castle, and Sissy, Daryl, of course, wants to build up our economy here at home. But that's not the objective of the people who control the Democrats and Republican Party. Their objective is to send our manufacturing overseas. So certainly my concern, Daryl, is that with this tremendous number of American dollars that we are systematically sending to other countries, to China, to Russia, to Vietnam, to Europe, that those dollars are going to be coming back in here. And they're going to be used to buy up our industry. Already, foreigners own over 25% of the major industries here in the United States. Companies like Westinghouse. What could be more American than the Westinghouse Corporation? The only trouble is Westinghouse is no longer an American corporation. It's a Japanese corporation. And the Japanese and the Chinese and the other countries are simply coming in here and buying up our infrastructure. What's that going to mean for the average American, Daryl?
Well, it bodes very ill. In fact, I just drafted an article for our website about this very subject. You know, what could be more American than Westinghouse? Well, Anheuser-Busch, perhaps, was just bought by a Dutch company, and an Arab company owns 10% of Citibank, now the largest bank in the world. But it's even worse. I mean, even the European countries who are buying American companies and American infrastructure, a Spanish corporation controls the lease on the Trans-Texas Corridor. They own the Indiana Tollway and many other items of our infrastructure. But I learned recently that the sovereign wealth funds, of which Abu Dhabi has $865 billion in theirs, and many other countries, many of the European countries have these, Norway in particular, they have hired American real estate agents to locate foreclosed homes, and they're buying residential real estate at bargain basement prices, putting billions into it. So we're going to be renting our homes from foreign governments soon. It's a terrible situation for a once great nation to have to endure, but it seems that that's the way it is for us.
Yeah, but I think what's so important for people to understand is this is not happening by accident. This is happening as part of an organized, orchestrated, coordinated plan. And when you begin to understand that, when you read, of course, the Earth Charter, which is the mind comp for everything that's going on, Gorbachev calls it the new Ten Commandments for the world. Only, of course, there's 16 points in the Earth Charter, not 10, but, of course, it is to be the guiding plan for us religiously and spiritually and, of course, politically as well. Everybody should read the Earth Charter, understand it's written by three of the wealthiest, most powerful men in the world today. And, of course, it is coming to pass. And it is so hard for our listeners to believe that there are key people in our government whose loyalty is not to the United States. Their loyalty is the globalist dream and the transferring of our wealth to other nations. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call and you have a question for Daryl, why, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Well, what are we going to do about our educational system, Daryl? Because we have a problem here in America where certainly when our students graduate from high school and we test them comparatively with students from other countries, we rank down there at the very bottom. What are we going to, what's the federal government going to do about education?
That's a terrible problem, too. I mean, you could tell one story after another. You read about college students who don't not only know what where they live on the United States map, they don't even know what century they live in. But public education has done its job quite well over the last 60 years, and help the globalists achieve their dream, but what we propose is to end any role by the federal government in education. And that would prevent the federal government from using our schools as indoctrination centers for our children. You know, they have them 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and TVs have them 6 hours a day, and they have to sleep sometimes, so that doesn't give us much time with them.
What are we going to do about the health care crisis? Certainly, Obama wants affordable health care for everybody, and we don't know necessarily what, of course, John McCain wants as far as health care, but we have a real problem with our health care system. It's too expensive. Our people are not really as healthy as they ought to be. Many times you want to go to an emergency room, you find you'll have a 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 hour wait. I know one of our employees went to an emergency room recently with her daughter who was quite ill. And after waiting for a couple of hours, the nurse came out and said, "Look, why don't you take her home and and give her a couple of Tylenol? It'll take 9 hours before she's going to be able to be seen." What are we going to do with our health care system? It's too expensive. If you don't have health care insurance or government program, it'll run you right in the poorhouse. You'll never get out of debt.
Well, it's certainly the government is very good at creating a problem and having the solution to the problem available in advance. It is a problem right now, for sure. I recently had the same experience. I took my daughter, it's been a couple of years now, but we took her to the best emergency room in our city about 9 o'clock at night, and she got treated at 4 in the morning. It's a triage situation, determining, who's going to die before they have a chance to treat them. Of course, much of this is caused by illegal immigration, which folks use our emergency rooms as their clinic or their doctor's office or whatever. So, what we're really talking about is the 40 to 50 million people who have no health insurance and can't afford it. Those are the people that I assume that use the emergency room when it's not a genuine emergency. But we believe in healthcare freedom, and we believe that there are ways to restore the doctor-patient privilege, or doctor-patient relationship, rather, and that our health care doesn't have to be controlled by gigantic corporations and gatekeepers who determine, once again, who gets care and who doesn't. The last thing we want in the Constitution Party is to have some government bureaucrat determining whether you are worthy to receive health care or whether you should go on a list. And if you don't die within the next 8 months, you can have the surgery that you need. So we would certainly try to install freedom into the system, much as Ron Paul proposed when he was a candidate.
All right, fine. I don't think there's any problem facing America today that a new government program won't make worse. And I, of course, practiced medicine for many years under the free system, and it worked, and it worked very well. And nobody went without health care, and nobody died of lack of health care, because every county in the entire country was required to have facilities to take care of the truly indigent and those who couldn't afford to pay or could only afford to pay part. That was a county responsibility, and it worked very well. But they had to destroy that to create the problem where we have today, with almost literally an insoluble problem. And as long as we have government providing and regulating health care and driving the prices up, why we're going to continue having the problems we do. We will not have an effective health care system until the whole one collapses and we can start where doctors are taking care of patients and are physicians rather than being considered health care providers, where patients are patients rather than consumers, and where there's a relationship between the doctor and the patient rather than the doctor and the insurance company. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. What are we going to do about the inflation, the rising price of of food and of the necessities of life? How are we going to handle that sort of thing?
Well, once again, that goes back to the Federal Reserve, which creates inflation by inflating our currency and allowing our government to be profligate in its spending. It's our money's getting, it's worth less and less. As they say, it's not higher prices, it's lower money. So we have to have a sound money system to bring inflation under control, and we're not going to have that as long as we have the Federal Reserve. I mean, we could tinker with it a little bit and help some. It would certainly help if we ended the war in the Middle East. That would save $12 billion a month, and that we paper the world with. Obama's $865 billion international poverty program is certainly not going to help any in that regard. But once again, it's rather sad because there are answers to these problems, but they won't be found in the Democrat or Republican parties.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think what we got to do is to preserve the environment. Certainly, if we look and see what's going on in our society today, I mean, so many people are subjected to so many harmful pesticides and insecticides and chemicals, and so many things have really caused a profound impact, a dramatic increase in the price, increase in the incidence of cancer from where it was at the beginning of the last century, one person in 33. Developed cancer in the United States. Today it's one person in, I think one in every two men will get a cancer, one in every three women will get a cancer. I mean, how is the federal government going to solve this problem?
Well, it isn't. The federal government causes a great deal of the problem. As I said earlier, I'm certainly for a clean environment, but only to the extent necessary to clean our environment. I mean, the government's relationship with these various companies that are causing the problems that you just mentioned is one of the major things that need to be changed. I mean, their relationship with the pharmaceutical industry, with gigantic chemical companies like Monsanto, who develop all kinds of genetically engineered crops and hybrid seeds to destroy our food supply and poison us. At the same time, they tell us that we have to end our civilization because of global warming. They form these cozy relationships with various industries that actually cause the problem. You know, the energy problem begins and ends with global warming. If you buy that, human caused global warming, if you believe that's a fact, it's virtually impossible to achieve energy independence or even continue our way of life as we always have. So, you know, it's convenient for them to have these types of issues.
I agree with you totally. And of course, the thing is that now, of course, they're beginning to talk about the danger of global cooling. In fact, that's what they were talking about 40 years ago, the danger of global cooling. Well, it didn't occur. They kept talking about global warming. We do not have global warming. What about the Arctic ice caps? We had more Arctic ice this year than they've had in a number of years. What about the polar bears? We got more polar bears than we have ever had before. It is all a scam. If you really look into it, you've researched it. We have a wonderful book on politically incorrect global warming. It's got answers to all of the things they keep telling us about. They don't want a solution. They want a problem, so that they can justify ever more control over the lives of the people. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Al Gore keeps talking about the fact that there's no question that that of course global warming is caused by mankind is a reality. What's the solution? Carbon credits. Who sells carbon credits? Al Gore, he's got the corporation that sells carbon credits, is making a fortune off of this scam. And, of course, he puts out a movie. He gets a Nobel Prize, for doing this sort of thing, as he's laughing all the way to the bank, because he's the guy who's selling the carbon credits that's going to solve the problem, the non-existent problem. But it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, and, of course, you're Al Gore, and you've got a Nobel Peace Prize or whatever sort of a Nobel Prize it is, people will honestly believe that global warming is a reality. Well, I telephone again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Again, our guest is Daryl Castle. Daryl, would you like to get out your website, your telephone number, so people can get in touch with you and support you if they decide that they want to support the Constitution Party?
Yes, the website is Baldwin2008.com.
That's Baldwin2008.com.
Right.
All right, fine. And is there a telephone number that people can call if they wanted to contribute to your efforts?
Toll-free number, it's 1-866-99-BALDWIN.
One more time. You always have to give your telephone number twice on the radio.
1-866-99-BALDWIN.
Well, this must be taking an awful lot of your time. I mean, it's pretty hard to practice, a law and to be running for the vice presidency. I know when I ran for Congress, I found I just had to give up my medical practice for 6 months as we tried to, of course, have an impact on what was going on. It was an exercise of futility because, of course, I will not get into the background of why, in many respects, why you cannot change the political system, because, of course, the media is controlled, and, of course, an honest candidate really doesn't have much of an opportunity. Have you been on any of the major networks getting your message out, Darryl?
No, we've had extensive coverage on local TV and radio and some newspaper, but the word is out on us. I was told by the media consultant that we hired to place us on national.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Now, what were you told by the media consultant?
He told us that he could not deliver what we hired him to do, even though he's done it for many people. He said, I could take a person off the street who's doing nothing and get him on national media, but I can't get you on because the word is out that you're not going to be booked.
In other words, basically, there's an organized effort to keep your message from being heard by the American people.
That's what I believe.
But then how can we have a free society if the media is controlled and the people can't hear the truth?
Well, that's a good question. And I suppose the answer is we can't.
All right, and I think that's really, of course, is the obvious answer. If you value your freedom out there, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to help Darryl and, of course, Chuck Baldwin, who's a personal friend, get the information out because, of course, the media is controlled. Certainly the wealth of this nation is controlled. There are small groups of people, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, who know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, they want a one-party system, but they don't want the American people to know that. And the last thing they would want in any election would to give the people a choice. Well, of course, the other question is, how are we going to reach the American people? What are you and Chuck doing? I know that you're spending a lot of time on radio. You're talking, but we've got to get to the major audiences. What can we do? What can people out there do to help you?
Well, they could donate to our campaign, which would give us money to buy media on a national level. If they're not going to give it to us for free on news shows or national talk, then we have to buy it, and we can't do that unless the American people help us.
What about this idea that the federal government is going to sponsor presidential campaigns for political parties? We know that I remember when Pat Buchanan ran for the presidency, there were, 20, 30, $40 million available to him. Is that money going to be available to you, to Chuck?
Well,
and you?
As a matter of principle, we don't accept federal funds for our campaign.
Well, could you get them, though, if you want? To.
I'm not sure that we would qualify right now, Dr. Stan. It's possible, but we don't bother to even check because that's one of the principles that we live by, that we don't do that.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly admire that. I think, though, that people have to get involved in the political process, and certainly I will tell you quite frankly, I'm not giving money to any of the major political parties. They keep calling and telling me what a great job they're doing, and I should support them, because if I don't support them, Barack Obama is going to get in, and I'm not sure there's a dime's worth of difference between him and, of course, his opponent, John McCain. Hang on there for just a moment. Well, our guest has been Darryl Castle. Darryl, I pretty appreciate your coming on with me. Thank you so very much for being a guest, and I wish you the best in the coming months. And if you ever want to get on our program again, just give me a call.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I appreciate you.
God bless you. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that was Darryl Castle, vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party ticket. And if you Certainly want more information on them. You go up in the Internet and look it up. I know Chuck Baldwin personally. He considers him a friend, and he is running for the presidency. Darrell Castle is running for the vice presidency. And the fact that you have not heard about the candidacy is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today here in America, of what the American people think and believe. Well, certainly this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we do need your help. We have an opportunity now to get on a major station there in Spokane, Washington, every afternoon. It's going to cost money, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd certainly appreciate that. We also, of course, would very much like to syndicate our programs and increase our listener base. But, of course, we have to get onto a different satellite to do that. We're already on, of course, one satellite, but this is not a satellite that's readily available to radio stations. So if you're in a position to help, I believe our message is important, and I believe the only way we're going to save America, short of divine intervention, is, of course, to utilize talk radio, which is why I do what I do 5 hours a day. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on the Internet, to our satellite feed, where, of course, you can certainly read our newsletters, where you can listen to our programs that are archived, that are on the blog, that are in MP3, where you can watch our videos free of charge, where you can watch our other video section. Encourage other people to listen to our programs. And, of course, what is our message? Why, there are secret societies out there, ladies and gentlemen. There have been for thousands of years. They're operating today under the flag of the Masons, the Rosicrucians, Skull and Bone Society, the Bilderbergers, which, of course, is well known in other countries, all sorts of articles on the Internet, but never mentioned by the controlled media in the United States, any more than the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, and the other organizations of people of great wealth, who are energized by dark and sinister spiritual forces, because behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces, and until you understand that, nothing makes any sense. It's been said that back of all that foes have plotted, back of all that saints have planned, back of the schemes of men and demons is a higher hidden hand. Warp and woof are heaven created, all the patterns good and wise. Oft perplexing by earthly standards, but good and wise in heavenly eyes. Though the cause of evil prospers, yet his truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the scaffold, and upon the throne be wrong. But that scaffold sways the future, for in the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. And there really is a spiritual battle going on today. There are powerful spiritual forces working behind the scenes. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD. This is why you need to watch our talk on DVD on the Forbidden Secret and read the syllabus that goes with that. Why you need, of course, to watch our DVD on the Planned Police State and read the syllabus that goes with that. Why you need to watch our DVD on the secret knowledge. And there really is secret knowledge out there. There is a powerful secret that is known to very, very few. But, of course, before you learn that secret, you must learn what it can do, because it can give you wealth and power. It can give you wealth and fame. But, of course, if you tap into that secret, your life will never be the same again. And what is the secret? That Lucifer is God. And, of course, that is what they believe. These people worship Lucifer. Till tomorrow, please pray for Radio Liberty.